Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to PodNuts Daily, episode number 458, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Hallish. I'm joined today again by our good friend, Paco LeBron from Prodigy Techs. How are you doing, Paco?
Doing great, Jeff. How are you?
I am doing excellent. So Paco and I have been doing a series, which we're not sure exactly how long it's going to go on, but it's something that needed to be covered. And it's the beginnings of a part-time tech. And this is going to be starting out part number two. And last week, just to kind of reiterate what we went over, is that we went out how to figure out what type of tech to be, decide how you would like to represent yourself to your customers, and determine the type of business that you're good at or that you want to do for the long term. And I think today we're going to start off with basically the next big thing, which is, hey, what are you going to name yourself?
Yep.
Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, essentially, you got to figure out, you know, as you go out in the world of trying to, you know, make this your living or just essentially start building on making this your living, you want to be known by something. So essentially, you want to establish your identity. And this comes in different flavors. You want to be known as you as a IT consultant, or maybe you feel like you want to kind of make more of a future. Just really thinking more in the future of, hey, I want to establish myself as something, as, and this point would be a company name and something to build toward and kind of really get it going on that part. But there tends to be a little bit of difficulties and a lot of ways that you just kind of need to figure out first before you put yourself in a bad spot later on if you were to start out with a particular name. So essentially, you want to do the research is what I'm trying to go down to. And researching on a business name is a very big piece on figuring out how you want to get your name. And by doing this, you can do it by several different ways. You can do a website search, just making sure that they haven't taken your name, because you are going to need a website, right? So that would be probably my first search, would just do a website search just to make sure that, you know, the website's not taken. Now, there are other ways around this. You can figure out if there is the website's name is taken, but it's not in your state. And if you decide to not go beyond your state, you can change different websites like .net or .guru. But essentially, since you're in the beginning phases, you would love to get something that you can get that .com, right? So that would be one place. Now, once you kind of get an idea and figure out your own way of being able to find a domain search, per se, with either GoDaddy, HostGator, there's many domains sellers out there that you can purchase your domain for. The next thing is you want to look at your particular state's database. Now, for us in Illinois, we have CyberDrive Illinois. So essentially, that's the state of the Secretary of State for Illinois. And we can do an LLC or a incorporation search in there. And we kind of discussed this a little bit in the previous episode as well. This allows you to find out if your company name is taken in your state, because you cannot do business in your state, let alone in your own city or county, without having it basically knowing that your name's not taken. And you don't have to register it right then and there. It's suggested, but if you don't have to do it right then and there. Just know that if you don't do that, there is a chance someone can kind of go under you while you're doing business to take the name. So those would be probably the two big pieces you want to take a look at on at least trying to make sure and just to figure out how to find the business name. And that's kind of the route that I went ahead and took to find our name, is essentially searched and then also looked at our business data, at our state's business database as well. How about you, Jeff?
Well, and let's step back a little bit. Let's talk about things like DBA or doing business as. Okay, this is one way that you can actually do a business without actually doing an LLC or incorporating. So, and I agree with Paco, you definitely need to find out a name that you want to use that's going to fit you and your business. And what I went through was I had done the Michigan searched their database and found out that TechNut LLC was not, or was, actually was available. So I actually just jumped right on that. It was like $50 worth of paperwork. Most of the time you can do this stuff right through, like Paco said, right through your Secretary of State. We had a, back then, I don't think they have it anymore. I think they switched it to something else. But they had a Michigan business website, which would help walk you through all the steps that you needed to go through. So there's a lot of resources that you can get at the state level for where, pretty much wherever you're at. And so if you search on their website, you, usually under Secretary of State, you're going to find all that information. So once I got my TechNut LLC and my EIN number from the IRS, which only takes a few seconds, believe it or not, because once you've got that LLC, you can send it into the IRS digitally, and they will send you that EIN number there right back. And then they'll send you a hard copy later. And then once you've got that EIN number, you can actually do things like open up a bank account, stuff like that. Yep. But one of the things that Paco was talking about was the website. And now I can't remember if I actually had looked for the website with the name or not. Probably not. I wanted to get the name of my company, and TechNut just seemed like I was into technology and I was nuts about it, right? So TechNut for me, that's where the name came from. Now, when I looked at the website, TechNut.com, and I wanted a .com at this time, TechNut.com was basically a landing page. Nobody was using it for anything, but somebody owned it. Well, as a starting off tech, I'm not going to pay for that. And as Paco said, you can use an alternate besides the .com, doing a .net or whatever. What I ended up doing, and I think I was, I might have been on Hostgator or GoDaddy at the time. Might have been GoDaddy. And they basically came up with some, whenever you put in a domain name that is not available, they'll come up with alternatives. Well, fortunately for me, what popped up was TechNutPC.com. And I jumped right out. I was like, oh, that's perfect. TechNutPC.com. You know, TechNutPersonalComputer.com. So that's how I was able to take my domain name and actually get a .com that made sense for my customers. Now, I've always started off everything that I do, I want to make it as easy for the customer to be able to find me and be able to type things in. So sometimes when we get real fancy with our names, and we might spell it in a way, and maybe we add a Z for an S or something. It kind of like Podnuts. But sometimes when you do stuff like that, there's a lot of times where people will go, how do you spell that? What's the name of that again? And so you have to sit there and explain that. So you want to make something, in my opinion, something that's easy for people to recognize and to be able to type in without mistyping that name into the web browser.
Yeah. And I have to agree with you on that, because like for us, Prodigy Techs, we have it our end with a K instead of a CH. And to be honest, I don't recall why I did it that way. I think I was just trying to be different. And later on, we come to find out that there are two other companies with the same name in two different states. One without the S and the other one with a CHS. So that's one other thing to take into consideration as well. Even though you're being creative with the name, if you ever did decide to go national or work with a network to kind of expand your services under your name, that's one thing to take in consideration, because if they've been doing business before a lot longer before you register your name, even though your name is a little bit different, if there's any, what's the best way to say this? If there's any way that it could be confused as their business, you're going to have a lot of problems legality wise, because they can always come after you saying, hey, we have rights to this name and your presence is going to confuse our presence that we've established all these years.
And a lot of times people don't realize that it's not really too hard to establish yourself. Once you, for instance, once you have an LLC and you were the first one to get that LLC, even though it's technically only really valid in your state, when somebody else tries to get that somewhere else or use that name, you've already gotten the LLC. They'll try to use a name. Maybe they're just doing business as, or maybe they do it as an incorporator or whatever. But because you have a timeline of you had it first, a lot of times that gives you precedence over anybody else. So, and it, that just becomes a legality that you may or may not have to fight. I don't see it as much anymore, because I think a lot of people are really trying to differentiate themselves. And then I noticed that a lot of computer repair techs will use their name, first or last, or a combination thereof, that will say who they are,
right?
You know, whatever computer services or whatever computer repair or whatever that would be. And in my opinion, as long as you get it in an LLC or a corporation, I think you're pretty much locking yourself in. And here's the other thing that you might want to think about that maybe people don't think about. Something I thought about when I first started. The reason I went with TechNut LLC instead of TechNut Computer Repair is because, quite honestly, 20 years down the road, I didn't know exactly what will I be doing computer repair with that LLC. Maybe, maybe not. But it gives me a broad spectrum to be able to use that name now that I own it by having a limited, and LLC stands for Limited Liability Corporation. And you can check, it's not that hard. If you go online and look and see what the difference between corporations, LLCs, you can look all that stuff up and you can see what's going to work best for you.
Yeah, a good resource to figure all that out is score.org. You'll be able to kind of get a determination on DBAs, LLCs, and incorporations as well. But exactly like you mentioned, the founder of Geek Squad did the same thing. He thought so far in ahead where his primary bread and butter was computer repair. And he had said on many interviews stating, I wanted it to be a simple phrase because I wanted it to be able to scale. I don't want it to just be computer repair. I wanted us to be a geek for audio visual. I want to be a geek for sound systems of cars, TV mountings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he had that mindset as well, kind of scaling out. And that's, I think a lot of us have, you know, at least trying to think moving forward, being consulting companies, we want to be able to consult and help as many people as we can with whatever it is that we decide is going to be our direction for the company at the time.
Right. And let's go, but now that you've said that, let's go back a little bit too. We've kind of talked about the things you can do. And in my opinion, you can do a simple doing business as, but for, quite honestly, and I don't really care where you're at for the most part, and this is not going to be 100%, but for the most part, the LLC cost me $50. That was it. It's not hard to do the paperwork yourself. You download it, you fill it out. And I can't remember if I had to, if I digitally sent it in or if I actually had to fax it somewhere. I actually probably emailed it. And, or it might have been a thing that I filled out online. They sent me something I had to sign. I might have had to fax it in or something like that. It was very easy to do. And you don't necessarily need somebody to do all that stuff. I mean, it's, in my opinion, digital, right?
Right.
It's either on or off. You either did it right and it's going to go through, or you did it wrong and it ain't going to go through anyways. You can't screw it up.
Right. So. But for those who think that they will, which I was one of these people, I actually ended up having my accountant do it for me. Now, I don't know if all accountants will do it. I think my accountant just may have had this special case because he did it for himself. But I actually had him do it for me. And I paid a little bit extra for his time. And for the incorporation in Illinois, I think it was like $280 something at the time. So I paid him his little fee of $100 and I just had it, you know, do it from there. So that's how I did it for ours. I chose to do incorporation on our side. And we filed it a month later, got the paperwork, and kind of just been trucking ever since.
Now, why did you choose incorporated over LLC?
So what was explained to me on as far as discussing between LLC and incorporation, again, I'm not a accountant, so you'll have to speak with your own accountants to discuss this. But from what was explained to me is by incorporating your business, essentially it's a little bit more upfront, but you'll save in the end. Whereas an LLC, it's a little bit upfront, but you pay a little bit more at the end. So how, what it was for me, and I can speak for the incorporations, is any expenses that I, so if my business took a loss for that year and I put in X amount of income and I made X amount of expenses, if I came out on the lower end, I can essentially take the taxes loss and apply it to my own income side, for personal income side, for W-2s, et cetera, for personally, and I can lower myself in a lower tax bracket to get a better tax return because of how much I've lost. So tax related, it worked out better for me while I was still trying to build the business. I don't know if, from my understanding, the LLC could not do it in the same similar fashion that an incorporated, an S corporation could do.
Interesting. Now, when you, so when your tax person does a, and this is kind of a side tangent, but this is, we're going to get into the deep stuff here. So when your tax person, what do they file for you on your, you know, normally when you're doing, you do a 1040 for your personal taxes.
Right.
Do they file just a Schedule C?
They file, so you have your, so there is your own business, you, there is your own business, taxes that you have to file on its own. And then whatever that is applied over to, I believe, I know when I first started, before I incorporated, I started with a Schedule C. Right now, I don't recall if it was just applied as a Schedule C again, or if it was applied as a miscellaneous. I have to double check. And by miscellaneous, 1099 miscellaneous. I have to double check, but I believe it was a Schedule C again to apply. And essentially, when you do that, you can make it bring in that income, whatever it lost, to lower the bracket.
Yeah, I'm not sure the advice you were given, maybe there was a reason for it, but I don't think the LLC and corporation are actually any different, because exactly how you explained, you take your losses against your personal is basically the same thing I've been doing. And okay. I've had a corporation, I actually used, because I had used to have real estate, I would had a, I used my name, and so it was Jeff Halish Incorporated. Okay. And that was more for, there were some other things that I was going to do with it down the road to where it made more sense, because of stocks and different things like that and depreciations and whatnot. But as far as running a service type business, I don't know that it mattered, to be honest with you. So definitely check with somebody and, you know, get that information so you can make a good decision. I don't think it's bad one way or the other. I think there's just differences in, I don't know, in how it's put together, I guess.
Yeah, I think essentially from what I see is they are both typically passed through tax entities. Now, the S-Corp must file a business tax return. LLCs will file a business tax return. But if the LLC has more than one owner, then the pass-through taxation, no income taxes are paid on the business level. That's how that works.
Okay.
So, but check with your accountant to figure out what's the best decision that you want to make. And if it sounds too complicated, do a DBA for right now and prepare yourself to make that step when you do.
Now, and this is a good point. Now that you brought that up again, I'm going to bring this back. So a DBA, doing business as, basically gives you the ability to open a bank account in your business name, which please get a separate account for your business. Do not run it through your personal account. Just don't. It's just a, it's a bad habit to get into. But a DBA, one of the other reasons I went with a LLC was because I wanted to separate, you know, limited liability corporation. I wanted to separate my business. If my business does anything wrong, then I wanted the separation between my personal and my business. And that's the only reason that I even went to that next step instead of just doing a DBA, because I don't think a DBA gives you that same separation.
Right, and it does not. And I can speak for that from experience, because I have a fellow tech that has been operating under a DBA for over 20 years, and he has been getting himself in a lot of like jobs where if they were to go horribly wrong, and he's that very big go-getter, if it were to go wrong, they will take everything, and including everything that has his name, because he's a DBA. If he had established himself as an entity, like you mentioned, an S-Corp, LLC, these entities are what's doing business with whoever it is, residential, business, et cetera. So whenever something were to hit the fan, they're coming after the business, and whatever's associated with the business as an entity, that's what takes it. So essentially, just think of it as another person. The business is another person, and essentially he's your clone. He's going to take the hit while your personal assets should remain untouched. But again, speak with a lawyer, be able to really understand those type of, for legality's sake as well, because that's when you're going to really get into the details of when does that not be the case in certain scenarios. Because I've seen at times, even though you do have an entity, you know, and these are very, very, very rare and very, very, like, you had to be doing something very malicious in order for it to be coming back to you. So definitely speak to someone as you make this decision as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I think, yeah, there's a lot that you could go into that with the whole, you just want to keep that separate. You know, I back in the day, I used to say, I'm like, you know, when you first started out, you can't, I kind of go, listen, regardless, if you want to come after me and you want my stuff, you can basically have all my payments. It's fine. You can have it all because I own nothing. So if that tickles your fancy, go for it. But yeah. So anyways. Yeah,
no, and I hear that a lot. And just for those who do think the same way, the only thing I want to just highlight is, yes, you may not have anything, but the hassle of having to deal with it. And if you're the type that value your time more than money, that's the worst thing in the world. And that's essentially my whole thing as well. Like, yeah, it's, I'm in the same boat. Hey, you could take whatever you want, go for it, et cetera. But the process and going through all that is just something you just don't want to go through. So essentially protect yourself. Make sure you think about this beforehand. And see what's going to be best for you, because no one wants to go through all that type of thing.
Exactly. And you've got those layers of protection that you can do, small things that don't cost a lot of money, that quite honestly, if you're starting a business, even if it's part-time, you know, you might as well do some legitimate things. And I know there's probably a lot of people out there that will run their business and maybe they, I don't know, don't pay their taxes on their business or get money underneath the table or whatever. And these are not good business practices. And here's the thing. A lot of people get away with it for years and years and years. And that's fine. But at some point, there's that day of reckoning. Right. And it tends to bite you. And I think, Paco, you're right. You don't want this stuff to eat up in your time. It's just like if you've ever had your identity stolen or credit cards made in your name or anything like that, you will understand what a hassle and what a time sink it is to go through all that stuff. So if you just set up a few things in the beginning and say, and that's the way I thought when I started my business, was I'm going to legitimize my business as much as I possibly can. Now, obviously, you're not going to do everything from the beginning, but you're going to do the things that make sense to do first. And I think getting an LLC or a corporation would be one of those. Would you agree? Right.
Yep, I definitely agree. There's a great quote that I always heard was, always pay your dues up front or you're going to pay double later.
There you go. So. Now let's talk about, so we talked a little bit about how you find a business name and some of the things that you do, but let's go back to and talk about the differences between what you want to be known as. And we kind of talked about this a little bit, I think a couple weeks ago, yep. But we've got the IT consultant, we've got the computer repair technician, we've got the MSP. Oh, I just threw up in my mouth. we've got.
That's going to be a running joke in our podcast industry, just so you know, because I do reference that quite a bit on my podcast. So.
I hear it all the time. It's funny. So there's all these different things you can be known at, or kind of what we talked about niching down. But when you're thinking about a business name, do you think that, because here's what I hear from a lot of people that have created a business name and then years down the road after they've been practicing, they're going, man, I really wish I wouldn't have named it this because it's not really matching up with the type of business that I want to do. You know, and I'll give you an example, you know, Crazy Clowns PC Service. Now here's the reality. That might be fine for homes and whatever, maybe you live in a circus town, or I don't know, but that's fine for there. But as soon as you want to go into business, and you want to support businesses, you know, Crazy Clown PC Service is not going to be probably, it's just my opinion, probably the best name that in, they're not going to look at you seriously. So it's one of the things you want to look at is, okay, what do I name my business that's going to make sense, that's going to follow me down the road? And that's why I talked about some of the generics of why I named my name one name. And again, mine too was kind of by, like, I thought about things like Best Buy. You know Best Buy. Even if there was no Best Buy written on a sign, you know the yellow tag with the black outline, you know that's Best Buy, right? Everybody knows that. So I think you really want to dial down and think about what types of things you want to do. Because again, if you name it something, let's take it a little more normal and say you're going to name your business something like, I don't know, PC phone repair or something like that. Because maybe you're big into fixing phones or phone screens, tablet repair, whatever. So you got kind of want to be careful when you're naming yourself to figure out what it is you want to do first, I think.
Yeah, because rebranding yourself, like the amount of time you spend to brand yourself to then have to rebrand yourself is just a whole nother animal altogether.
And I will tell you that, you know, talking about branding, I'm sure we'll get into that down the road, but yep. Just real quick, if I went back and I've got a copy of all my logos from when I started. In my very first logo, talking about branding, because I wanted that one thing that you could look at, an icon that you go, hey, that's Tech Nut PC Repair or whatever.
Right.
But the one, the icon I came up with was a, as a matter of fact, somebody down south somewhere is using a ripoff of it, but whatever. what do they say? The best compliment is, or whatever. People.
Yeah, I can't think of it right now, but yeah, I know what you mean.
When somebody steals your stuff, it's like, you know, flattery is the best compliment or something like that. Anyways, so I had this icon and it was basically a drawing that I found. And what I did was I had my daughter actually fill in some of the colors and we just took that and I made it into an icon, and that was my icon for a while. And then I had this other program where I'd use the text for the name of my business and I'd made it up. So it was Tech Nut Computer Repair. And then it wasn't until probably a few years after I'd started, and I think I went through one other iteration of logos, and then I finally paid the big $125 to have somebody do it for me.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, it's terrible, right? $125, but we, you know, us technicians are so darn cheap that we just don't know.
Oh, and you know what? I've got, and that's something that okay. This is going to be a tangent, but
we're down a rabbit trail right now, folks. It's okay.
Yeah, it. I get it. I used to be the same way. I used to say, you know what? I'm a part-time tech. I can't afford to spend X amount of money on certain tools. I can't do certain amount of things. Totally understand. You got to do certain things manually. You have to figure it out. You have to use free tools. But there are caveats to this. If it's a donation where if you made in that month $300 off of a donation where you can give them 10%. You can give them $30 for it. You know, I mean, you can give them $3. You can give them something every time you do it. So that's the one thing. The second piece of it is, you want to work your way up and don't stay in the frame of thinking you can continue to do things with these freeware until you get the rug pulled under you, which I'll actually have an article coming out soon on the YFNCG site about this, where having the rug pulled under you is never fun. And amazing enough, the person to break me out of this mindset was Chris Carruthers. So
I can see that.
And what was funny was because I wrote out amount of things I felt I can afford. And the moment that I realized that I needed to invest in tools to save me time, and this wasn't on a podcast, this wasn't on a webinar, this wasn't on a live show, this was purely a conversation with him. And he said, did you think about these things? And I didn't. And that's what got me going on, hey, I know what I've been setting myself up for the last 3 years. This is what I need to do for the next 3 years. Because a lot of people don't know, I started Prodigy Techs in 2011. I'm telling people I officially started in 2013. So I had close to 3 years before that to kind of figure out what was going on before I even made the steps on making these investments for my company. And that's one thing you want to make sense, because there are other people, there are techs out there that have been doing this for 20 years and think that, hey, I'm owed free tools to do my job. And it's just not, it just does not work that way. And you have to invest the time. Now, I'm not saying go ahead and buy, you know, the big MSP tools and the Flukes of the world and think that you're going to be an overnight success, by no means. But get the tools that you need now, or you can invest, that will help save you. And it's going to be worth it to you to save you not only money, but time as you move along and grow and scale your business.
You know, I know we talked about this in the beginning, and one of the things is for the specialty tools, things that are a little bit on the higher end. Sometimes when you take a job and you're going to do that job, you can basically buy the tool, which, so you're going to make no money off that job, but you're going to have a tool, usually a hardware tool, something you need. You're going to have a tool that should last you a long time through many other jobs. And so that's okay. Yeah, I definitely agree with what Paco's saying right now, is that a lot of these companies, this freeware, we get mad when somebody goes away. We're like, oh, what, those jerks. And it's like, really? No, you're the jerk because you wouldn't throw them $10. You know, those donate buttons are not just there just to take up space on the web page. Because if this product or service has actually helped you out, you know, throw a little bit of money their way.
Right.
Make it worth their while so they stay around and they continue to improve their product.
Yep, exactly. And it's one of those where it's like, oh, well, their free platform is cool, but if they had this feature, this would really help out. Well, pay.
Right.
That's the whole point. They've helped you that far. You need this feature. Pay them, because you could probably afford it. And if you can't, you need this so that it can help you scale so you can get more in. But, you know, and this goes into our next thing, Jeff, if that's fine to go into the next part on. You know,
how do people get a hold of you?
Say what?
How do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly. Like, how are you going to let your customers get a hold of you? And, you know, again, this is for part-time techs. You know, we all have all started out. I highly do not suggest giving out your direct phone number.
Oh, no, no, no.
Especially when you're starting out, you think this is going to be a good idea. You will realize, if not sooner rather than later, this was a bad idea. So you're going to want to get a second phone number.
Yes.
And there are many, many options to get a second phone number, or a second phone at that matter. Okay. And I can genuinely say that I have gone through several stages of these particular phone numbers as my business grew over the last couple of years. But I started out with Google Voice. That was my secondary number. And that was a number that clients or vendors can call me on, and it'll ring my same phone. You can call out of that phone with the same number, the Google Voice number, and you can basically separate personal from business and put yourself on a schedule if you need to, so you're not bothered by any direct calls when it's your time.
Now, and I will say with that too, so understand that with any of these services, when you're getting a new phone number, whatever it is, you could use VoIP through your, you know, through Comcast or something like that. Or like Paco said, you could actually get a separate phone. Or you could use things like Grasshopper, which is going to give you a little more robust way of answering the phone, or actually forwarding it to your cell phone or that type of thing. But when you get a number, and this is what a lot of my customers, I had gotten just a regular Google Voice number, and I can't remember what the area code they gave me at the time. Whatever that area code was, because I'd moved, people would ask me, I almost didn't call you because I didn't think you were local to the area, because you didn't have a 734 number or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the things because I'd already had the Google Voice number, which was free. I actually had, and I wanted to keep using it because it was already set up. So I went and switched my number, which cost me like $10. I had to spend $10 with Google to switch my number. But then I found one with a local area code, so people knew that I was local to the area. Because if you just have, now the other way to get around that, but you got to err on the side of, you got to be cautious with this. You could do a 1-800 number. But when you're first starting off, and especially if you're a part-time tech, you're going to give this persona of, A, you're a big business and you're available all the time. And right. if that's not true, which in most of our cases, it's not, then you really probably want to think about, in my opinion, local, friendly. I would just get a local number with a local area code.
Yep. And that's 100%. And I thought about it too, and exactly like that. There really is no need for an 800 number if you're not going to be national, because it's not really toll free per se. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
If you're going to be local, it's going to be the local calls anyway. And in Chicago, we have three area codes. So, you know, we have 773-312 and 872, which is the newest one that just came out. And the story for us was, we had our original number, 773-932-0835, which goes actually directly to my own cell phone number. Okay. Now, that number was our original main number. The problem with that is I ended up switching it to a more easier number, which was 312-600-TEX-8357. So we ended up migrating over to that one. But what I've come to find out is, because we were establishing that phone number online as our main number, even though we fixed it or we changed over, there are databases and directories out there that still have that number on file as the main number. So I get calls from vendors all the time. And so that's one thing you want to make sure, that if you can at all possible come up with a number that you can stick with for the life of your business, is going to be best for you, whether it's area code, ease of use, ease of remembering. That's going to be your best bet, because right now my cell phone rings all the time. And that's why I have no problem giving out the phone number now, because it's on the internet. Anybody who's going to Google is going to find it regardless. So that number rings all the time with vendors, and we're talking about people who want to help you with Google Business, Google My Business, putting your business listing online, helping you to get to SEO online. I mean, you name it, they will call you for whatever. So that's one thing you want to make sure, that once you put that number out there in the wild, it's going to be very hard to switch from if you do decide to later down the road.
The other little thing, the other tip that I'll give you, and when I changed my phone number on Google Voice years ago, read the number out loud. There's something with the numbering order. Some numbers do not sound right when you say them, and they're not very easy to remember. So I'll give you an example. My number, it was, or it still is, 734-707-1349. Now, when I was going through the numbers back in Google Voice, I can remember some of these numbers were coming up, and I would read them out loud, and it was just like, they just did not roll off the tongue.
Right.
So you want something that's going to be in kind of a logical order. And what I mean by that, you know, 707, that's fairly easy. You've got two sevens in there, and you've got a zero that's splitting between there. You've got 1-3-4, which is in numerical order, then 9, which is a little farther out, but it's still in numerical order.
Right.
So these are just little things that I learned years ago that just seem to help me when I give somebody my phone number, not only for the customer, but so that, because I've got my personal phone number and I've got my business phone number, I can remember them. They roll off the tongue. It's not a big deal. So that'll save you a little bit of headache when you're giving that number out.
Yep. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, to that point, like you said, I mean, just being able to get that right number the first chance you get is going to be best. If you do decide to change it fast. If you are contemplating that your number is complicated, the sooner you do it, the better for you, because later on down the line, it's going to just make it harder for you as you go along. But with that, essentially, you want to figure out how people will call you, but essentially, you want to have a visual presence online. And one piece of being able to do that is a website. Now, as we talked about before, you being able to do a domain search and making sure that your website name is available, there are many places to get a website. The host will have some type of website creator. If you're on the Google Apps platform, they have a Google site way to do it. There's free sites to help you make free websites, Weebly, Wix, etc. If you need to do those, and again, I started out this same way, to me, they don't feel as professional because they have some of their branding on the bottom unless you pay for it. Okay. But because these are very generic websites, my suggestion, which helps because we're in the tech field and we're in the computer repair field, is Tech Site Builder. Now, Tech Site Builder has gone through very many variations through the Podnuts Network and now over with Matthew Rodella over at Allodor. That's one of the products that are being offered on his side for computer repair shops. That one is a more in-house solution. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of the other ones, but if you're going to pay, you want to make sure that you pay for something that's going to be efficient. Now, this is in no way is a pitch. This is essentially just giving you an other options that are out there as well. And this is the only product that I know of that gears towards specifically to computer repair shops or just IT shops and IT industry in regular. Now, you could get a WordPress theme and buy, in ThemeForest or et cetera, but I'm sure there's many people out there that have the same similar effect as well.
All right. So let me kind of dial that back because I don't agree with Paco on this.
Okay.
In my opinion, Tech Site Builder is the only way to go because I'm going to tell you guys, I've done it all. Okay. I've had in Tech Site Builder when it first started was a great HTML static web page that grew my business and was perfectly fine for what I needed. Okay. But to be honest with you, I had downloaded WordPress. I've spent hundreds of dollars so on WordPress themes and I've tried to put them together in an environment. And to be honest with you, I would rather stick two forks in my eye and a spoon up my nose, okay, than to basically put myself through something I know nothing about. And even if I do, here's the thing. You're going to get somebody like Matthew Rodella, who's owned his own and operated his own computer repair business, understands the SEO, understands how to put this stuff together, and understands how to make it so it works for everybody, but it's so robust that you can make it your own. You can make it look however you want, but there's some main themes that he puts in there that if you don't know what you're doing, and quite honestly, let's just be honest, guys, I've seen a lot of your websites. Okay. They suck. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just bottom line. So the reality is if you want something that's easy and hosted, you do not have to upgrade it because I can't tell you how many times I had to go into WordPress and, oh, new WordPress upgrade. Oh, better do that. Oh, hey, all my plugins need upgrading now. You spend so much time doing that stuff, it's not even worth it. If you're going to run your business, you're going to be good at taking apart laptops. You're going to be good at running, networking problems in businesses and taking care of their workstations and all that stuff. You be good at what you do and let somebody else take the burden off you and use a service like Tech Site Builder.
Right. Okay. And a big, that's good. And the biggest piece to take away from this is maybe you are you create your own websites, you're maintaining them, you think you're hot stuff and you got everything going for you. But here's the big thing. If you're trying to concentrate on being a business owner and not a business operator, you have to outsource some of the things that are going to save you time. And this is a big time suck, especially how Jeff said it. If you have a WordPress site, you got to make sure the security is up to date. You got to make sure that all the plugins are upgraded. I mean, it's a big security thing where if you neglect it and you just happen to be the one unlucky person where this big hit happened and your site's taken over. Now you got to cut out the time in your day to back up, go or restore your backup that you have if you've been taking backups. For $20 a month with Math's product, I mean, essentially that's going to save you all that time, all that effort, and it's plug and play. You do what you want. You want to convert, you can mix it up. You can do what you want with his system. And essentially, just in general, you want to start focusing on items that are going to make sure that you take away. Because again, it being a part-time tech, you don't have a lot of time to be spending on being an operator other than the jobs that are coming in for your shop. So kind of start thinking about those type of things. And this is one of the examples that I've mentioned before is learning to invest in something that's going to help save you time, because time, it to me, is more important than money spent.
Well, and here's the thing a lot of people don't understand. Again, it goes back to, okay, you buy a WordPress theme. you spend $8 a month for hosting. You get a plugin, maybe some are free, maybe you pay for some because you need them for whatever you're doing, shopping carts, all that kind of stuff, whatever. You've got, okay, wait a minute, I need stock photos. Oh, wait a minute, where do I go get those? Oh, wait, TechSite Builder already has all that stuff built in. He's put in stock photos for you to be able to use and make it beautiful and make it any way you want. And so a lot of that stuff just takes in. Again, here's the thing. Okay. And I've said this before, there's a lot that goes into SEO that I don't understand. And I understand the basics of it enough. I do it organically and it works for me, but whatever, but I still don't understand. But anyways, I had TechSite Builder, the last one that Matt just built. Okay. I had it up and running in less than an hour. Literally. I had my pictures with what I wanted to pop up in the beginning. Here's the only thing you need when you get started. Okay. It's great because you can build it over time and you don't have to spend hours and hours and hours up front. You can get it up and running in an hour, get your logo, your phone number, and maybe what it is you do right up front above the fold, and it works beautifully. Now, when you want to start building the SEO and other things in there, you can start building that over time. I'll be honest with you. I'm one of those guilty ones. There's a ton of things I need to do to my website, and I don't even have time to do it. And Matt's made it easy. So eventually I'm going to get in there and make it a little bit more where maybe I have some of my services and different things like that, where the people that are interested to click down and see all that stuff, they'll be able to see that information. Instead of, I just kind of have everything kind of mushed together right now. But my, as far as I'm concerned, my front page is very simple, elegant, and understandable. Somebody's looking for computer repair, they know they've come to the right place.
Yep. And that really goes into our next thing that I want to talk about is people finding you, right? And that's essentially what we're trying to do with SEO, SEM, so search engine optimization, search engine marketing, Google AdWords, all types of searches. Essentially, we want people to be brought to us, whether to call us or bring us to the site. So there are a couple listing sites that are very predominant in online presence, and they're free. And one of them is Yelp, which my personal opinion, and this is Yelp is one of the bigger necessities that you have to be on, even though you may not like it or not. The company as a whole. That's as far as I'll get to saying that before our episode is pulled because they don't like it. But you know, their Yelp listing, and I have to say that I get a lot of organic reach through Yelp's business listing. And essentially, a lot of these listings, like Yelp, Google My Business, and Bing, and I'll get into those in a second, is you basically put up your information similar to what you would have on your website. You put your pictures, your hours, etc. But the biggest piece that really help out with these are the reviews. Now, me and Jeff will go back and forth on reviews and being able to provide testimonials and things of that nature. But I truly believe that if you diversify your reviews across multiple listing pages, this is what will help establish you to kind of bring yourself up to be found in your particular areas. Another one is Google My Business, which is essentially Google's Google Maps, which used to be Google Plus tied into it, allows people to search. And if you're local, depending on their keyword search, you can come up on as one of the three results that are nearby on their maps, which is Google My Business. Now, Yelp, Google My Business, and Bing, which is Bing Places. And I'll mention why I put Bing in there, because I know somebody probably just said, what? But I'll mention in a second why I put Bing in there. But what these places have really well is they help bring those reviews. They help bring those items so that if someone was to find you, these things happen to come up first because their teams are putting in so much effort to make sure that these are the directories that people go to, that when they go into these directories, it's a better option for you, or a better opportunity for you to be in front of people to get clicked on, which brings me into Bing. And I'll let Jeff chime in here as well. After this, Bing happens to not just be with Bing. Bing Places pulls their information from Yelp, if you already have a Yelp page, But the biggest piece is Bing shows up on Bing, Yahoo, and on AOL. So those are three places that probably it takes up 30, from my understanding, is 30% of the internet. But a lot of our clients that are not very computer savvy probably have one of those three search engines as their default search engine that they search off of.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So having a Bing ad place, although may not have a lot of traffic, may be very significant for you to be on those as well.
And Paco, I'll just say this as far as you and me going back and forth. Hey, dude, you have your right to be wrong. So with that being said, no, I agree. There's a lot. I'm not a big, I've never done Yelp. Probably, to be honest with you, from my standpoint, really don't plan on it. But I will tell you, when you're getting started without doing something that's going to cost you money, and yeah, you said Yelp doesn't cost you any money, right? So you can sign up and
Yelp listings does not cost you any money. Yelp ads, which is there similar to Google AdWords pay platform, it does cost you money. I can speak personally that it didn't really work well for us, but other techs may have a different experience.
Right. So I would say, yeah, as far, in going back to what Paco said, though, I would say the big engines out there, big search engines being Google My Business, you can do for free. Yep. All you do is go put your information. It's really simple. You go in, you put all your information online. They're actually going to send you a postcard to your whatever address you put on there. So if you work out of your home, they're going to send it to your home and it's going to have a code on there. And you can basically go in, put the code in, and then they verify that your business is at that address. Okay. Now, I can't remember. It's been such a long time. Bing Places, do you remember if they do the similar same type of thing or do they just like, okay.
Yep, they sure do. Actually just had to redo it again because we made some changes on the listing, which needed us to get another postcard sent back to us. But one thing to know too, guys, is if you don't want people coming to your home, which is what we talked about in the last episode as well,
right?
You can set it so it does not display your address, or you can put it that you go on site to people for a max amount of radius.
Oh, that's great. Because I don't know that I had that ability before. I think I actually had to expose my address, which for me wasn't a big deal because I was doing business out of my house, but
yeah, if it's a recent change, it is definitely in there where you can say that you do not have a brick and mortar. If you don't want people to know your address online, and that you go on site to do your services or offer your products, depending on what area or how you plan to kind of spin your IT and computer repair shop.
Right. Oh, that's very good. Yeah, definitely. Anything that's free that can help you out in search engine optimization. I will tell you one other thing. Now that we're talking about kind of getting yourself out there and making sure that people know about you, the other thing that you can do organically, and this does help, is that things like podcasts, and this is what helped me back in the day. I would show up on a couple of podcasts and my name and my business name all of a sudden are showing up multiple times in Google. And so when they're looking at my stuff would start coming towards the top. And that was because we were linking between what was the podcast and my business website. Because obviously it's getting, you know, named, and there's usually a link in the website that's helping with that organic SEO. If it's free, go ahead and do it. I'm still not a big fan. I just have not used Yelp, so I really can't say. I can't give you an intelligent decision. I've just heard the horror stories, so I personally stay away from it. That's just
yes. Yes, there are horror stories. With anything, there are horror stories, and there are very positive situations. And I'll just put this out before we move on to the last part of this episode, is right now, I have a majority of my work coming into our downtown office. Our Evanston office has a majority of all our paid advertising, Google AdWords, Bing ads. We had our Yelp ads, etc. Our downtown, and I actually just did the numbers a week ago. Our downtown office does a majority of all the jobs, or comes in with all the jobs, yet not a penny goes toward paid advertising toward there. And the only reason that I can explain it is of the organic things that we've done to that location of the 3 years that's been there is diversifying the reviews, adding information, updating everything to have great information on all these listing sites, and essentially people just searching on whichever they search. And if they're local, we're number one normally that comes up for that zip code.
And I will say this is a parting note on that is try things. Because again, and this is why I'm not a big formula person. I just know if you do the right things and you're legitimate and you don't ever try to game the system, you'll be perfectly fine and things will work out naturally for you versus gaming the system and hurting yourself down the road. And everybody's done it. We've all gotten to that point. But yeah, keep it legit. Okay, last thing is register on social sites. Oh, but why? Again, I would rather stick a knife in my ear, a fork in my eye, and I don't know. why in the world would you stay up on your social? Now, we're talking about social sites like Facebook, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so Twitter, which, what is that? Google Plus. I love it to communicate with other techs, but as far as a social platform, what else do we have? Oh, LinkedIn. Okay, that's great for business back and forth. As far as customer, I mean, I do get customers on there that own businesses that will, connect with me on LinkedIn, and that's fine. I'm not sure of all the benefits of the social networks. And then also, here's the other thing. I also noticed there's a lot of people out there that swear up and down that they're busy, 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 and yet they spend hours a day on Facebook. So tell me how we're going to actually use this to our benefits to help us.
Yep. So I want to put this out where everyone hears that social media is the new, the new email marketing, right? Same thing as when print mail heard email is the new print marketing. So this is, I'm going to give the overview, and the overall is whatever you want to do for social networks, pick two. The only reason why you want to pick two is because social sites are not meant, and I know I'm going to get a lot of feedback on this, are not made to make money. That's my personal opinion. Social media sites are made to connect with your customers or your potential customers by providing great information. Because people tend to look at these items, and like you mentioned, they're on it all the time. Now, there are many things people look at. Pinterest, Instagram, Snapchat. I mean, there are so many of them out there. You can't keep your head still enough to figure out which one that you want to do. For us, we focus on Facebook and we focus on Instagram. Facebook, because they recently just introduced the services feature, if you have selected the right categories for professional services and business, local business. And what it does, it allows you to advertise literally however many services you have on your Facebook page as the first thing a person sees. But the biggest piece about it is we use our social media sites to gain momentum, to gain attraction for a lot of people. And that's what we do with our Facebook ads. And that's, and paid advertisement is going to be a whole nother topic that we'll cover in later on. But a little bit for here is we attract people to our Facebook page and to our Instagram page so that they can get a better understanding on how to use their tech, understand what's going on, and more specifically, bring them to our website so they will, in hopes to subscribe to our blogs, because we tend to repurpose a lot of that stuff to make sure that we educate. And that's what we use those channels for. Now, oftentimes they will turn into monetary things, but we're just not in the mode of chasing the money. We're in to chase to help people, and the money will follow is our belief. And that's essentially why we're in business. And that's what we focus on. And people will hear me say this all the time. That's our particular why. So that's why we think social media is so crucial, because that's the best way to connect with your customers. Now, as a part-time tech, this may sound like a real big company, MSP type stuff. Oh, I just heard Jeff throw up again.
Sorry, and you know,
that's their way to connect with the people. But this helps people know you, and this to help know exactly what you're up to. What are your things that you like? What are things that, and I'm not talking about your personal Snapchat. I'm not talking about your personal Instagram, your personal Twitter, your personal Facebook. You want a Facebook page for your business. You want to create a separate Instagram feed for your business. You want to create a separate, you know, so that they can see what you're passionate about and why you're doing what you do, so that they can say, you know what? I can connect with this guy because he did a back to school campaign at a celebration that they had, a back to school party at this local neighborhood. You know what? That's a real good guy. He's been giving out his time. Hey, you know what? He's over here at the neighborhood library, you know, just explaining why ransomware and tech scams are the big thing right now. We need to understand. You building that trust will help just establish you and making a connection to, again, your current client base, once you have one built up, prospects, and just people in general, so that if they see this, they can say, you know what? If someone talks to them, say, hey, I got this computer that's, I don't know what's going on. You know what? I know somebody because, you know what? I've seen all these things that they're involved with. So that's why I think social media is such a big piece, at least for us, that what we've tried to use it for.
And I will say this. I was half joking with Paco. a lot of that stuff. No, I mean, I've got a Facebook business page. I've had one since the beginning. And the problem is the content or the connection necessarily with the customer base. But I think it is a great piece that you use if you can put that content on there and put helpful information to drive people to your website, like you said, and get all that information and maybe use your services one day. So I think there's a lot of value in that, but you just know that you have to put some effort in, and it's not just going to happen overnight. Now, me personally, I was lazy going back to Google AdWords. That's why I use Google AdWords, because for me, the advertising portion, and we'll get into this in another episode, but I just wanted something where most people are doing a Google search. They're going to find me. I'm going to get up to the top one, two, or three on the top of the page. They're going to click. I might have my phone number right on there. Maybe they don't even click. They just call the number. Hey, how much does this cost? And we do business. And that's worked out for me from the beginning. Now, I will say the game has changed a little bit, and you do have to be a little more interactive with people. And I think Paco's on the right track with what he's doing with his business. So with that being said, I think we're going to go ahead and we're at the hour mark. We're going to go ahead and we're going to shut this episode down. And we've got many more for you, because I can see there's a lot of things that both Paco and myself have gone through over the years that hopefully we can steer you guys in the right direction and help you to make those decisions, hopefully making the right decisions that are going to work for you, instead of, like Paco said, have to change halfway down the road and go, oh, this is a great big task. So yep,
I agree. And a big piece about this, from now that we have two episodes down, is if any of you part, and again, this is for part-time techs or people who are considering starting this part-time, feel free to email the show. If there are questions on anything that we discuss, or there's something that you would like to have a little bit elaborated on, or just get our feedback, email us, let us know what's going on. And especially if you think that you want to give your side on how you got this to work for you as a part-time tech, definitely email in
right
to Jeff.
Excellent. Well, Paco, appreciate it again, man. Just a lot of good information and good back and forth with you. So I think we've got some chemistry, even though, you know, you're wrong sometimes, but it's cool. Right. I mean, it makes the dynamic work real well.
Well, we all know that you're a little jealous that I jumped over on another show, but hey, you know, that's just what it is. But,
do I look jealous to you? Come on.
It's okay. I understand. I still come.
Well, I appreciate you coming out, and we should be back next week, and we'll have some more information. We'll keep on going with this. All right. You guys can find me on the Google Plus. Yes, I do have one of those, at Jeffrey Hallich, or Twitter at TechNethPC. Yeah, I have a couple of those. If you have any questions, like Paco said, or like to be a guest on the show, email me at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. Real simple. Name of the show at podnuts.com. I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnuts Daily. Don't forget it. If you need business paperwork to get you started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the TechNibble Computer Business Kit over at podnuts.com. And you guys can help support the Podnuts Network. Next time you're shopping at Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.